Now, if the labeling on the rest of our medicine bottles were accurate 15% of the time, what percent of us would still be alive and kicking this morning? It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and our next guest is the senior author on a new study that analyzes what active ingredients are found in CBD or cannabidiol products across southwest Wisconsin and how that compares to what's on their labels. Does CBD work for you? If so, does it work inconsistently? Perhaps there's a reason. Join us, 1-800-642-1234, with your questions about CBD or email ideas at WPR.org. We'd also be interested in your personal experiences with using CBD. Our guest is Barry Goodell. He is a professor of pharmacy at UW-Madison and the senior author of this new study. Barry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good morning.
So set the scene for us, if you would. Your study looked at almost 40 commercial CBD products, all of them found across southwest Wisconsin. And what did you find?
Sure. So before I get there, I do have to give a shout out to my former grad student, Dr. Owen Miller, as well as Dr. Ed Elder. Because, you know, in reality, they did the lion's share of the work in the lab. So I want to thank them for all their work. But so what we did, this is a lot of us have recognized this for a while, that there's, you know, it's kind of the Wild West out there. There's very little FDA oversight of these commercial cannabidiol products that are out there. They fall under what's called the Farm Bill, and, you know, derived from hemp, you know, cannabis sativa. So there's very little regulation. And a lot of us have recognized for a while that there's problems. We've heard from individual patients over the years that, you know, sometimes they feel like they get some benefit from the products, other times they don't. So we set out, there was a study that was done a few years ago that looked nationally at the same thing that we did. And letters went out to companies saying they need to be standardized and have some quality assurance. So we decided to reproduce that here in the state of Wisconsin a few years later. And what we found was almost the same.
Oh.
That, you know, a lot of products just don't have what they say they do.
Wow. So you found 6 products tested were accurately labeled out of the 39 that you studied?
That's right. You know, either they had, some of them actually had more CBD than what they claimed. But, you know, the majority had, you know, far less. And what was more concerning, some of the products that we looked at, they didn't really give you, you know, an amount. It was labeled, you know, as this full spectrum hemp. So it was very hard, you know, for us to say, well, what do they really have? They would give you a concentration, a dose, but you didn't really tell you specifically what was in it. And of course, that's not something if you went to the pharmacy counter, even over the counter, you know, medicines that you would expect to see, right?
Sure. And Barry, was there a reason, as you understood it, that so many of these CBD products contained less CBD than were indicated on the labels?
Well, you know, I think it gets back to what are the requirements for quality assurance? You know, there's, again, with prescription drug products, there's fairly, and over-the-counter medicines that you'd buy in the pharmacy, there's requirements for quality, ongoing quality assurance. That when a drug manufacturer puts something out and what it says on the label, it's pretty much got to be pretty darn close to that. There is no such requirement for these products. So, you know, that's the problem. It's inconsistent manufacturing.
Yeah, but is there, I mean, is these cannabinoids, they're,
yeah,
can they dissolve in water? Are they good in beverages? Is it a soda that you can slurp up on a sunny day?
So, yeah, thanks for asking. So here's one of the things about these cannabinoids. They're what we call lipophilic. They love fatty environments, right? So most of the oils or most of the preparations you find out there, they're dissolved in things like olive oil or other types of oils. So we knew from the get-go, or we suspected from the get-go, that, you know, we looked at a variety of these CBD waters and beers and kombucha and all these other things, that there was likely to be very little, because cannabinoids just don't like being in water like that. And that's really kind of what we found. First of all, there's negligible amounts of CBD to be found, and some of them, it was hard to determine, but some of them had almost nothing in them. So buyer beware.
Yeah, but so give us a big picture here, Barry. How much does it matter that these commercial CBD products are incorrectly labeled? And as we'll get to, you've been studying cannabis sativa products for a while now, the first one approved by the FDA that you've been working on for a long time. So why is this important?
So I think there's a couple things here. My first concern is that I think a lot of patients and consumers out there, they're taking the information that they've heard about the prescription product, and they think that's the same stuff that they can go buy over the counter. And the concentration, the doses are far, far different, but people don't, they kind of miss that subtlety. I do worry about drug interactions and side effects. You know, one of the things that we've worked on are that these cannabinoids, CBD and THC, can cause some drug interactions, and it can be dangerous drug interactions. Problem is, I don't know, with some of these over-the-counter products, is that enough to cause a drug interaction, because it's never been studied. But you know the other thing, real quick, and I'm sorry to interrupt, the other thing that's concerning that we found in our study, a fair number of these products had measurable amounts of THC in them.
CBD products that actually had THC. CBD, which was allowable under the 2018 Farm Bill, THC, which still is not, according to the federal government in the state of Wisconsin.
That's right. And, you know, it's, you know, this it becomes kind of a math problem, right? So as long as it's below 0.3%, it's considered legal. Well, some of our products that we tested, they were right up, you know, up to the legal limit. And if you do the math on some of these, that, you know, we know that you can get a measurable effect from THC at about 2.5 milligrams of THC. And you get up to 10 milligrams of THC, that clearly can be an intoxicating dose. And if you wanted to, some of these products, if you wanted to spend the money, you could buy a bottle of it and you could probably get a couple intoxicating doses, you know, out of THC out of the bottle. So I worry about that. I worry about the fact that it's not regulated. Yeah. You know, young people can get a hold of this. The other thing is, if you're subject to drug testing, you know, you could turn up positive. There's enough THC that you could have a positive urine test. That can obviously cause some legal problems.
Barry Goodell is a professor of pharmacy at UW-Madison. He's the senior author, along with Dr. Owen Miller, was the lead author, Dr. Ed Elder as well, mentioned them once again, on a recent paper that analyzed commercial CBD products in stores across Southwest Wisconsin. 39 of them, only 6 seem to match the labeling requirements. So what does that mean for CBD users in a largely almost completely unregulated market? And what does that say about the need for some regulated state? Join the conversation about CBD, THC, and what you'll find. We don't know. 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Guest has been researching the first prescription medication derived from cannabis sativa for a while now. It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and Epidiolex was first approved by the FDA in 2018 to treat seizures. Barry Goodell oversees his patients' use of Epidiolex in his clinical practice. He's also the senior author of a new study about commercial CBD products available across Southwest Wisconsin. And that study is published in the journal Epilepsy and Behavior. What do you want to know from our expert about CBD? Barry Goodell is also professor of pharmacy at UW-Madison. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234 or email us ideas@wpr.org. So, Barry, tell us a little bit more about your work with the cannabis sativa plant and how it is used as medicine to treat seizures.
Sure. So, you know, we've suspected for a long time that, you know, there's a lot of compounds, a lot of these molecules, cannabinoids that are in cannabis sativa. And it's really only been in the last decade or so that there's been serious research looking at their potential medicinal properties. And so it's been recognized that CBD, when given in sufficient doses, can be in a very effective anti-seizure medication in some groups of patients. So, You know, you mentioned Epidiolex. That is the first FDA, the only FDA-approved product that's a purified form of CBD. So, you know, as we mentioned last before the break, some of the over-the-counter things we tested had THC. Epidiolex, because of the process, the oversight and the process, doesn't have any.
And you found it to be effective in treating seizures?
Yeah, it's been, you know, shown in clinical trials, and we have a number of patients that have been very successfully treated with CBD using, again, the prescription product, which is given at much bigger doses than what you can buy in the over-the-counter world.
But it begins to explain why you were so interested in studying the other CBD, over-the-counter CBD products, commercial CBD products that some of your patients would have available to them over-the-counter across Southwest Wisconsin. Have you had patients that have come to you about finding, in addition to Epidiolex, also adding some commercial CBD products? How does commercial CBD play into, you know, your work with the pharmacology of cannabis sativa?
Yeah, I don't see that as much as we did in the early days when we had Epidiolex, but we've had patients who are supplementing themselves, and whether it had any measurable effect, I don't know. Did have some patients that were using the over-the-counter stuff, and they were complaining of some side effects. Maybe that was due to the THC. It's hard to say. But a lot there was a huge groundswell of interest, you know, after the farm bill, for people wanting to try it.
Mm-hmm. But that its effectiveness is still into question. And as your study points out, Barry, it appears as though the consistency of the product may also be in question. So that would lead us to what advice you might have for consumers if they want to continue to purchase over-the-counter CBD products and they want to have some certainty about the correct amount advertised in it.
Yeah, great question. Unfortunately, there's really nothing, you know, the consumer can do to sort of verify the amount that's in there. You know, they may be given some, you know, a QR code on something where they showed some initial, you know, purity measurements, but that really doesn't tell you what's in that bottle. And we do know over time, especially after the bottles have been open for a while, that CBD begins to degrade in the bottle. So, you know, I also worry about people who are trying to self-medicate, treating various symptoms. My advice to them, if they're trying to self-medicate, you know, go have a conversation with your physician first about what's happening and what you're trying to treat. And my other thing is, you know, if you're going to use these products and try them, you know, talk to your physician or pharmacist about, you know, if you're taking other medicines, because again, we just don't know that there may be drug interactions, even at the lower doses some of these products have. We just don't know.
Do we see any push or any drive towards regulating the CBD market after it opened up in following the Farm Bill in 2018?
Well, you know, over the last few years, the FDA has had hearings. I was provided some testimony at one of those hearings a couple years back. I think there is interest. I frankly think the genie's out of the bottle, no pun intended. You know, that these products are proliferating. I think it's going to be very hard to have any sort of regulation of the over-the-counter space.
But I just find it, I mean, these are supposed to be medicinal, these are supposed to have healing, but how can you treat it as medicine, and how can you treat it as healing if you are uncertain about its toxicity, its potency, its effectiveness?
Right. Well, you know, again, the way the current laws are crafted, you know, the companies out there that are selling this stuff really can't make medical claims. You know, if you're selling over-the-counter CBD, you know, whether it's in, you know, in candy bars or water or even in oil, you can't say it will treat, you know, fill in the blank disease. Only the FDA-approved products like Epidiolex can make that claim because it's been studied in a rigorous manner. So, you know, patients need to understand that if they're buying something, it's not the same as the prescription product. They can't assume it's going to treat anything.
Barry, you talked about testifying a couple of years ago, what have you learned about CBD that could help inform policy debate going forward now, and the question over regulation of CBD, and as we move forward, the legalization of THC products themselves?
Well, one of the things that I think we've learned, we're learning more, and we continue to explore and learn about, like I said, the drug interactions. That CBD, especially given in doses that we know can treat seizures, for example, it can interfere with other medicines that you're taking, and potentially cause, you know, very, very serious, effects, like with some anticoagulants, blood thinner type medicines. We know that CBD can cause them to be much more enhanced in their effect, and that, you know, puts you at risk for bleeding. So we're learning more about the drug interactions, and I think there's this growing sense that these are not benign molecules. These are not benign drugs. They can have some serious consequences. So whether that impacts public policy toward the over-the-counter space, I don't know the answer to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're just about out of time here, but I am interested in what you are working on next and what you see on the horizon for your studies.
So what we're continuing to work on, again, is drug interactions. One of the other things that I mentioned is that we know that, you know, once, unlike a lot of other medicines, once you open the bottle, you know, whether of the CBD, it begins, once it's exposed to air, it begins to break down and degrade. So we're beginning studies to basically inform consumers if they're buying a bottle and they're using it every now and again, how long is there even anything left in the bottle after they've opened it? Because I think, again, consumers need to know that. They're spending a lot of money for these products. So it's good to know how long they'll actually be worthwhile. And we're continuing to study how well it's working in our patients.
Barry, look forward to keeping up with your work. Thanks for sharing it with us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Barry Goodell is a professor of pharmacy at UW-Madison and the senior author on a recent paper that analyzed commercial CBD products in stores across southwest Wisconsin. Of 39 of them, 6 actually met the label as detailed. Just ahead, we talk with the overseer of NASA's James Webb Space Telescope after its images revealed the deepest ever snapshot of time and space itself just a little more than a week ago. What did we find? That's next. I'm Lee Rayburn. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.